Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and hello, 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 my fabulous friends. Welcome to the all-new, totally exciting season of Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents. I am your host, Chloe Dilly, and I'm back older, wiser, and more thrilled than ever to showcase the most amazing talents and inspiring stories from all around. This season is going to be an absolute blast. We're talking epic talents, heartwarming journeys, and maybe a few surprises along the way. Whether you're here to be inspired, entertained, or just have some fun, you're in the right place. So, grab your headphones, turn up the volume, and get ready to smile, laugh, and maybe even dance a little. Because this is Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents. Let's make some magic together. Kia ora, everyone. Welcome to a special highlight episode of Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents, where we revisit the best moments of 2025. I'm your host, Chloe Dilly, and today we're diving into some of the most inspiring, hilarious, and thought-provoking conversations from last year. Whether you're a long-time listener or new to the show, this is your chance to relive the magic. Let's get started. Let's start with the best moments from the interview with Nevaeh. This conversation is packed with musical talent, wisdom, inspiration, laughter, and so much more. Here's a taste about what made it unforgettable. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents. Today we have a very special guest, someone with an incredible voice, a creative mind, and a love for all things like arts and crafts. She is a talented singer, a crochet queen, and a fantastic cook and an animal lover, especially when it comes to cats and kittens. She also just started her first year in high school and is an active member of the youth groups at Chur and Latimer Church. I'm so excited to welcome Nevaeh. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
Let's start with something fun. Can you describe yourself in just three words?
Fun, funny, and energetic.
You have so many amazing talents. You sing, you crochet, and you do arts and crafts. And you're a great cook. Which one of these do you love the most and why?
I love arts and crafts the most, and that is only because I just love drawing and making things, and I also just think that I can inspire other people to do the same.
Tell me about your singing. When did you realize you had a great voice?
I think I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I just got a lot of like my friends and my family just told me that they thought that I was a really good singer, so I just decided to continue it.
You competed in the Shirley Intermediate Talent Quest. What was that experience like? Were you nervous?
Yeah, I was pretty nervous. I also had a teammate with me, and like we did do amazing. But like, yeah, we were really nervous on it. So, yeah.
What is your favorite song to sing and why?
My favorite song to sing is Sailor Song, and I just think that it's an inspiring song and it's like a really calm and yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about your creative side. You love crocheting. How did you get into it, and what's the coolest thing that you've ever made?
I got into it by Chloe, and the coolest thing that I've made is the start of a blanket that I have not, unfortunately, finished yet.
If you could make something really crazy with crochet, like a full-size blanket or your favourite character or even a crochet outfit, what would it be?
Probably a beanbag in the shape of a cat, but like a giant one.
You also enjoy arts and crafts. What kind of things do you like to create?
I like to create like cardboard, creations. Mm. And I also just like to draw.
And let's not forget cooking. What is your absolute favourite dish?
My favourite dish is mac and cheese.
Okay, but what do you like better, cooking the food or eating the food?
I have to go with eating the food on this one.
You've just started high school. How is it going so far?
It's going really good at the moment. I'm at Mighty Ho High School and I haven't really found much things challenging, but some classes I do need a little bit of help with.
What is your favourite subject and why?
My favourite subject in school is art. Because I can create things and show people, like, if I can do it, they can do it too, and it's, like, one of my talents, so.
What is one subject you wish you never had to do again?
My subject that I wish that I would never have to do again has got to be maths and PE. I just do not like them, and, like, in maths, I am not very good with my timetables and I'm not very good at solving math equations, and also in PE, I hate it because we have to do a lot of running around and I sprained my ankle from it, so.
And what is your favourite memory from intermediate school?
My favourite memory from intermediate school is meeting new friends and taking photos with all of my friends from primary and finding out that they are in my class for the next, well, for the past 2 years.
And what do you want to be when you grow up?
I either want to be an artist or a veterinarian.
Tell us a bit about your family. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I have 5 siblings. I've got 1 sister, her name is Georgia, and then I have 4 brothers. Their names are Tyson, Ashton, Josh, and Cody.
You're a huge cat lover. How many cats and kittens do you have?
I have 3 cats and 2 kittens. Their names are Berry, Missy, Kitty, Rosie, and Mister.
If your cats could talk, what do you think they would say to you?
I think that they would say, feed me.
You're also a part of the Chura Youth Group and a youth group at Latimer Church. What do you love most about going there?
I love most learning about God and also the food that's there.
All right, let's switch things up a bit and have some fun questions. What is the grossest thing that you can think of?
The grossest thing that I can think of is probably got to be someone picking their nose and eating it.
Gross.
It's really gross.
What is the closest thing to magic in the world?
I think the closest thing to magic is, like, having, like, a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, like, invincibility and stuff.
Would you rather have super speed or be able to turn invisible?
Probably turn invisible, so then I wouldn't have to, like, show up to the classes, but, like, I would still be there, basically.
Yeah. SpongeBob or The Simpsons?
Definitely SpongeBob.
What's something really weird that you're afraid of?
Something weird that I'm afraid of? Probably, I'm not really sure, to be honest. Like, all of my, like, fears are, like, normal. And, yeah, I'm not really sure, to be honest.
If you could time travel, would you rather go to the past or the future and why?
Probably to the future, so then I can see, like, who is going to be my true friends and who's stuck around.
If you could meet any celebrity, dead or alive, who would it be?
Definitely Kit Connor from Heartstopper, my favourite at the moment.
What is your favourite holiday tradition?
My favourite holiday tradition around Christmas time, probably going to the carnival that's, like, just around.
Okay, here's a riddle for you. Let's see if you can figure it out. What has hands but can't clap?
A clock?
Yeah. And did you know that octopuses have 3 hearts?
Really?
Yeah. Imagine how much love they must give. If you have 3 hearts, what would you do with that extra love?
I would probably spread it around the world and make sure that people can feel what love is too.
Before we wrap up, is there anyone that you'd like to thank or send a special shout out to?
I would like to thank Chloe and also my family for just, like, sticking with me along like my whole journey in life. And I also want to thank my favourite teachers from my old schools. So, yeah, thank you guys.
And finally, what's one message or wish that you'd like to share with everyone listening today?
Keep up with your dreams. Don't let anything stop you from, like, continuing on. And if anyone tells you that you can't do something, prove them wrong and just tell them that you will eventually complete your goals.
Nevaeh, thank you so much for being here today. You are such a talented singer, artist, and an all-round amazing person. And I'm sure listeners had so much fun getting to know you. Next up, we're revisiting the highlight bit from my chat with Laura Compton. Her story about teaching had us all glued to our seats, so you won't want to miss listening to this one.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents. Today, I'm beyond excited to introduce an amazing guest, someone who is not just a young and dynamic teacher, but also has a law degree, who is a Disney graduate and who is a creative genius. Joining us today is Laura Compton, a teacher from Shirley Intermediate School, who has turned an idea to a huge success by organising the school's first Talent Quest competition. From promoting it, managing every detail, Laura made it happen. She is an inspiration to her students and a testament to the power of creativity, hard work and passion. Laura, welcome to the show. It is a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks. It's really good to be here.
Let's start with your incredible background. You have several degrees, including one from the law from the University of Canterbury. Can you tell us what degrees you hold?
I have a Bachelor of Arts, majoring in philosophy and minoring in theatre and film. I have a law degree and I have a graduate diploma in primary school teaching.
You also have a unique degree from the Disney University at Disney World in the USA. That sounds cool. How did that come about?
So when I was at university, I did a cultural exchange program at Disney World and they ran some Disney University courses, so I went along to Disney University and learned about management and communication skills, some human resource skills, and just business information at Disney.
What was it like living and studying in the USA? How long were you there?
I was there for 6 months, so from August through to January. So I was there for Halloween, my birthday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and New Year's, and it was really fun. I was there on a cultural exchange program, so the idea of it is I go and learn about American culture. So one of my friends invited me to a Thanksgiving dinner that her family had, which was pretty cool, and in return I taught them about my culture. So I gave them some fairy bread and Jaffas and taught them a few Māori words, and yeah.
Did you work at Disney World while you were there?
I did. I worked in merchandise. So my home location was the Art of Animation Resort. And I lived on Disney property and got to go to the parks for free whenever I wanted, and also picked up other shifts around at different places in Magic Kingdom.
With all these amazing qualifications, why did you decide to become a teacher instead of getting a career as a lawyer?
So I went to Disney World when I was studying law. It was meant to just be a break, but while I was there, it was a really hard job, but I loved it, and it was the most fun I ever had, and I loved going to work each day, and I realised that doing law, I wasn't going to love it, and I wanted to find a job that I loved. So I finished my law degree and thought about what it was that I enjoyed and decided to give teaching a go.
Before teaching, you worked in the office at a hospital. What was that experience like?
So all through my studies, I worked at the hospital, so I was there for about 10 years. It was just a regular hospital. I made some cool friends who, a huge variety of ages. But I learned how to be organised and manage my time and cooperate well with lots of different people. And it was really nice making a difference in people's hospital experience because people usually come in pretty stressed out and it's not a fun place to visit, but it was nice making it a little bit easier for people.
What steps did you take to become a teacher? Could you share that journey with us?
So to be a teacher, there's two ways that you can go. One is you can do a 3-year undergraduate degree. And then the other way, which is the way that I did it, is if you already have a degree or some sort of qualification, you can do a 1-year graduate diploma. So they cram all 3 years of the undergraduate into 1 year, and it's a really full-on year, really stressful. And, yeah. But you learn a whole lot. And so, yeah, I did a 1-year diploma.
You're clearly very creative and organised. What are some of your other talents or hobbies?
I don't have so many hobbies that cover a lot of time. I like to try different things and try new things though. So at the moment I've gotten into running and doing watercolour painting. I found a watercolour kit. Last year I taught myself how to make a korowai weaving cloak. I made one for my friend. And I taught myself how to crochet. So I like learning new skills, but I'm not great at continuing them on for long periods of time.
I heard you tried playing guitar and piano when you were younger. How did that go?
Yep. I learned a new skill and then didn't keep it up for very long. So I learned piano when I was in primary school. I think I could still play like one song on it, but I think I did it for about a year and a half maybe. And guitar, I'd still really like to learn guitar. I have a guitar, but I don't know how to play it. I learned a little bit at university, but that's on my goals for this year, is to learn how to play a song on the guitar.
You also have an unusual talent for hair braiding. Tell us about that.
Growing up, I liked to braid my own hair. I have very curly hair, though, so it was always really difficult. So now that I'm a teacher and I've got lots of kids in the class who let me put fun hairstyles into their hair, especially on like Rangai days or Mufti days. It's pretty fun to try new ideas out.
You've encouraged students to start in-class clubs like crochet and cooking competitions. What inspired you to support these ideas?
I think just primary school and intermediate school is the perfect time to try new things, and if I can help with a student to try something new, even if they don't like it or they try it and realise they hate it, giving them the opportunity to try it is what I like about being a teacher.
You were a judge for a cooking competition. What's it like being on a judging panel?
It's really hard balancing between being honest and fair but not hurting the competitors' feelings is really hard. The food competition that I judged, I didn't do such a good job at that. There was one dish that I couldn't eat it, and I had to spit it out, and I felt really bad. But the boys were really good about it, really nice, and we laughed. But yeah, still got to learn how to be more professional in the judging. So.
Let's talk about the talent quest at Shirley Intermediate. How did you organise such a successful event?
I get a lot of credit for it, but you and your mum came to me and said that you really wanted to do a talent quest. I hadn't even thought about doing one before, so you guys really were the front runners with it. I approached some local businesses around our school community and got some prizes. I also had a huge amount of support from other staff with organising it. So I had other teachers giving prizes. One of our teachers made flowers for all the judges, bouquets for them. I had a whole lot of support from everyone. And it was, your idea to have it.
What was your favourite part of the talent quest, and who were the judges?
So the judges were yourself, Brett Cooper, our principal, Lisa, our food tech teacher, Bex Pemberton from RDU, and Jake McClellan, who is our local city councillor. And my favourite part of the talent quest was probably, so I was sitting at the back through the whole thing, taking pictures and recording some of it. And every single person that performed, all of the school was cheering and enthusiastic and positive about every single performance. And it was really heartwarming and just really nice to see that much support and positivity from such a huge group of people.
You also organised the school disco. How did you go about planning that?
So school disco, again, was the first, so I've organised it for the last 2 years. The first year, again, was a student came and said they wanted a disco, and I just helped sort of, they had all the ideas and I did all of the logistics of it. So I sorted out when it was going to happen, where it was going to happen, how much it would cost. And this last year that's just been, again, I think the important thing with organising something for the school is getting student voice for it. So with the disco and with the formal, we had our student formal committee who they had all the ideas. They, you know, the sky was the limit for their ideas, and then it was my job to sort of figure out what was actually possible and what we could actually do in the time frame and the budget and make their ideas a reality.
What other exciting projects have you been working on recently, like the creativity project with plastic bottles and jars?
So the plastic bottles was last year. We made boats out of recycled materials and raced them down the river local to our school. I really like incorporating recycling and that sort of thing into the classroom. This year we have a recycling station getting started at school, which collects the caps from bottles and sorts them into the colour and the number, and then eventually they'll go down to Revolution, which is down at the Richmond Community Garden, and we'll melt them so that the plastic can be reused into something. We're not quite, I think they melt them into toys or something that we can use. And yeah, there's a couple other recycling projects that I am hoping to bring into the school next year. Well, this year.
Yeah. Who supported you the most in this journey as a teacher?
I'd say my family supported me a lot. They have, when I told them I didn't want to do law anymore, they let me make that decision. There's probably things that I said I wanted to do that they've supported me with and helped me when they haven't gone so right. And also, Shirley Intermediate supported me a whole lot and have given me the opportunity to bring new things like discos and talent shows and recycling projects into the school. And, yeah, that's been amazing.
Teaching isn't easy. What are some of the biggest challenges you face during a school day?
The biggest challenges for me would be staying on task. I'm really easily distracted, and sometimes students learn that and use that to their advantage and try and distract me purposefully. Yeah, staying on task is a big one for me.
Yeah. What brings you the most joy in teaching?
What brings me the most joy in teaching is seeing students enjoy a lesson or enjoy school. That was probably my biggest motivator when going into teaching, is I wanted to make class and school a safe space and a happy space and a space that kids enjoyed coming to. So you can't learn if you're not enjoying being somewhere. So yeah, seeing students enjoy just being at school is probably my favourite.
How do you ensure students understand and correctly interpret their tasks in class?
So knowing your students is a huge one for this. So everyone learns in different ways. Some people learn by having instructions given to them, like verbally, and told what to do, and then they can set out and do it, while others need it written down, like on the whiteboard, and then some people need it written down in really clear step-by-step instructions. So knowing who your students are and how they learn and what they need to succeed is huge, and then providing that. And, you know, I might write out instructions on a piece of paper step-by-step for one student and then having it available for everyone else. It might benefit more than just that one student that I've done it for.
How do students from different cultural ethnic backgrounds interpret into Kiwi class environments?
I think it's different for every student. Students come into the classroom with a whole different history depending on where they've come from, why they've come to New Zealand, how recently they've come to New Zealand. I've had students who've moved in the last couple of years just to move countries, and then others who have moved as refugees from another country, and then others who've moved and the next day started in school with me. So just making them feel welcome in school is pretty important. But at the same time, celebrating where they come from as much as they want to, you know, we want them to integrate into the classroom and into Kiwi culture. Celebrating where they've come from and their history and their culture is super important as well.
Do you sometimes have to be serious in class? When and why does that happen?
Sometimes. I think I try not to be overly serious in class. But if a student is putting someone else at risk in the classroom or impacting on someone else's learning, that's sort of when I have to be serious, because that's not fair on other people in the space.
What is your favourite subject to teach and why?
I love teaching writing. Writing is great because even if someone is really quiet in class and barely says two words in class, you can find out a whole lot about them and you can hear their voice through their writing. There's no right or wrong way to tell a story. And yeah, you really hear someone's voice, and that's pretty cool to hear that through their writing and see that through their writing and see it grow as well.
What is your favourite colour?
Pink.
SpongeBob or The Simpsons?
SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is the grossest thing that you've ever encountered?
I had to think about this one. So the grossest thing for me is it really grosses me out. Kangaroo pouches with a joey in them. I hate it. I saw it in Australia one time. It's disgusting. Don't look it up.
What do you think the closest thing to magic is in our world?
Closest thing to magic? I'd say probably books. Books, when you're reading books, you can go anywhere. You can be anything, be anyone, go to Hogwarts, be a wizard. Books are pretty magical.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
One superpower would be being able to teleport somewhere. I have a lot of family overseas, and I think being able to just teleport over to visit them whenever I wanted would be great.
Yeah. So if you could time travel to the past or the future, what would you choose and why?
I would time travel to the past. I think it would be pretty cool to meet like my parents and my grandparents and like older people in my life when they're my age. And, like, see what they're into, see if we'd be friends or maybe not friends. See them from a different perspective. I think that'd be pretty fun.
If you could go back in time, what advice would you give to your 10-year-old self?
Advice to my 10-year-old self would be to take up every opportunity at school. Anything that's offered that you're remotely interested in, take up the opportunity, because it's a lot easier to try something in primary school or high school and suck at it and fail and decide it's not your thing than it is as an adult. So I'm sure there's a lot of things that maybe would have been my hobby as an adult now if I'd tried it at primary school when it was offered.
What does the tooth fairy do with all the teeth that she collects?
I think she builds a house, I think. That's what I grew up thinking, and it's kind of gross, but yeah, I think she has a house, lots of renovations with the new teeth.
What do you think goldfish in a tank think about all day?
I don't know. This is a hard one. Maybe dreaming of the ocean.
Would you rather be able to talk to animals or fly?
I'd love to talk to animals. I think that'd be so fun. I ask my dog what he'd been up to during the day, but also like tell my pets that I love them and explain I'm just going to work and not just disappearing for 8 hours.
Did you know that jellyfish have been around for over 500 million years? Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. Because they don't have brains either, so that's crazy that they've been around that long without brains.
As we wrap up, who would you like to thank for supporting you in your journey?
I would like to thank my family, my mum, my dad and my sister, and my sister's husband have been huge supports in my journey to figure out what I want to do with my life.
What message or wish would you like to share with our listeners, family or friends?
I would share that you spend so much of your life working and so much of your day working that life's too short to do something that you don't like for that long. So find a job that you like doing and you love doing it, and it doesn't even feel like work.
Laura, thank you so much for being here today. You've given us so much inspiration, and I'm sure our listeners have learned a lot about what it is to take to be a creative and passionate teacher. And finally, no 2025 recap would be complete without the standout moments from my interview with Gloria Medina. This one was a fan favourite for a reason. Let's relive it. Hello, hello, hello everyone. Welcome back to Chloe Dilly Seeking Talents. Today, I have an extra special guest, a true superhero in our community. She's not wearing a cape, but trust me, her compassion, kindness and amazing work speak louder than any superpowers ever could. It's Gloria Medina, senior social worker from Birthright Canterbury, which includes Christchurch and North Canterbury. Gloria, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Chloe. Thank you for having me here today.
Yeah. All right. Let's start with something easy. What's a talent you have that no one would guess about you?
I'm not sure I have talent, but I'm pretty good at multitasking a few things at the same time. Not sure if I can master them all, but I can try.
Yeah. I also heard you have a talent for making kindness shine wherever you go.
I think we do our best. I think our team try to do the best to empower families to get in a better position and to provide better opportunities for, especially for kids. And we just do our best.
Yeah, okay. But seriously, you've been described as someone with a deeply compassionate approach to helping children and families. How did you decide to become a social worker?
I think throughout my life, I've always been in some sort of way being able to help others. When I was young, probably younger than you, I was part of the Scouts.
Mm.
And one of the visions that the Scout movement has is to leave a place better than you found it.
Yeah.
So for many years, I worked and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I even thought about counselling or helping, but I didn't really know how to, and actually was at ARA that I did. I came and asked for something else and ended up doing a career advice test that show up social work, and that's how I got the idea pop up in my head, and I started doing research and talking to people and finding out more about what was this, what involved. And that's how this sort of came up.
Yeah. And why did you choose Birthright? And what made you say, this is the place for me?
So the cool thing about Birthright is that they specialize in working with families led by one person.
Mm.
So the good thing is that we exist to support parents to gain confidence and develop life skills to achieve their main goals. So it could be that a goal for a family is to get their children improving at school.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be that they want the children to participate on extracurricular activities.
Mm.
Or you know, like every family is different and unique. Yeah. So it's we work in partnership. I don't tell parents what they need. They tell me what they want to reach. And I guess that's the beauty of it. It's family lead. It's what they want to do.
So for everyone listening, can you explain what Birthright Christchurch does and how wide their work spreads across Canterbury?
Sure. So Birthright is a not-profit organisation, has been around for more than 60 years and supports families led by one person that they need empowerment, maybe they need support, they need referrals or advocacy to other agencies or to find practical solutions to their problems. So I guess we're there to listen, to support, and to become a voice for them. How they can get in contact with us is just a matter of a phone call. I can provide the phone calls at the end of our talk. Or they can Google us online and send an email to us and we'll get in contact with them. And the same happens with North Canterbury. It's the same process. Also, we receive referrals from other agencies or GPs, doctors, counsellors, social works from schools. There are different areas. Blankets as well.
That's incredible. How do you manage to connect with families from so many ethnic backgrounds?
I guess the fact that I am a migrant, I wasn't born in New Zealand, and English is not my first language.
Yeah,
I feel like I have had to navigate being a migrant before being comfortable in New Zealand. So I understand the struggles. I understand how difficult for some people is to make a phone call when English is not your first language. I understand that sometimes you don't get it right the first time, and it's okay. You can only try. I think in a way I've been through that myself, so I can understand. Some people use really big words and jargon, and some people don't get it, what they're trying to say. So I'm there to support that, I guess, communication between agencies and the families at times.
Wow, two languages. You're already ahead of me. I'm still mastering English sometimes. Now, what's a fun fact about Birthright most people don't know?
A fun fact. I guess we're able to advocate for families, for children to participate in extracurricular activities. They can choose what activity, and that will be month per month. That can be renewed if they want to, or they can try something new as long as they are committed to attending to that activity. At times, we are able to provide family activities once per term that families are able to attend. Maybe we might go to Willowbank or Oranga. What's the name of the other zoo?
Orana Park.
Orana Park. or go to Inflatable World and that sort of places that they are quite fun and children really enjoy.
Yeah.
That will be a fun fact, I guess.
Yeah. Gloria, Birthright Canterbury sounds like an amazing organisation. Can you tell us which cities, towns, or maybe even rural areas you support?
So we are based in Christchurch. We have clients also in North Canterbury. And also we have another branch with another social worker that is based in Ashburton. That's sort of what's in Birthright Canterbury. There is other branches of Birthright around the country. But all these affiliates, they're all independent and they might provide different services as well.
Yeah. How do families get enrolled with Birthright? Do they need to apply or can anyone join?
anyone can join. They just need to make a phone call. That's called like a self-referral. They don't need anyone else to do it. They just need to make a phone call or send an email and we can get in contact with them. If that's too difficult for some people, they can contact their GP or counselor or social work in schools if the kid is attending school, or the blanket nurse that visits them at home, and they can get in contact with us as well.
Is there a waiting list to join Birthright? And if there is, how does that process work?
So, yeah, sometimes at the moment we have a small waiting list. That means that some people need to wait a little bit longer to be allocated to a social worker. And I guess it's a matter of patience. However, when we get the phone call, we assess them over the phone and we try to cover the basic urgent needs. So it might be that their food is really short at the moment or they need a referral for a doctor. So we try to get on top of the things that they are very urgent, that they are on top for families, until they can be allocated with a social worker that at least the first visit will be at home to try to understand how this family work, what their supports, what things are difficult for them, and then take it from there.
How do sponsors get involved with Birthright? And can anyone nominate your organization for a sponsorship?
Well, yes. Actually, I'm not sure if you will know, but this 2024, this year that just passed, was really difficult for some not-profit organization agencies. There is a lot of funding that now has been reduced. And some agencies are seeing the effects of this, and we don't live in a bubble. We are being affected as well. There is a lot of agencies sort of trying to apply for the same funding. But some funding has been cut, so it becomes more difficult to get as much resources. Anyone can make a donation if they wish. That's really easy. They just need to Google us online and follow the steps. And there is our bank account there. Or they can pop in our office that is based in Papa Nui, inside the Loop building, and get in contact with us. And we're happy to have a chat with them.
What is it like working with long-term sponsors and how do they help you achieve your goals?
I guess we have more than sponsors. We have people in the community that they want to give back. And also we have organizations that they help us to provide the work that we do with families. One of them, for example, is the Rata Foundation. They're able to provide us with funding and then we can provide services for families. I guess the process to get those fundings is applying for this sort of applications that they are put out there for agencies to apply. And normally they're like once a year that you can apply. But anyone in the community can, if they want to give back to families in need, they're more than welcome to get in contact with us. We have a few now adults that they were Birthright children in the past. Because remember how long we've been around that now they want to, you know, they are like maybe they own a business that is going well and they have the feeling that they want to give back, and they get in contact with us, and or they sometimes they don't provide a donation, but they provide an activity for us, and we put them in contact directly with the families to provide this activity, and so everybody gets sort of the benefits of this success. So it's great. It's great to see that giving back.
I heard Birthright supports children by encouraging their talents. How do you help children discover what they're good at?
I guess that's a conversation that the parent has with the children. Mm-hmm. We're able to see more the parents than the children. We see the children when they're having fun in the activities that we provide. But normally when we visit parents, they are generally on school or preschool. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's a communication, I guess, opportunity that happens, that we tell the parent, look, we're able to provide an activity for your child. Is your child interested in anything? So it could be dancing, karate, music lessons, could be anything they can choose. So then it becomes like a conversation. Okay, where will work? What days will suit? And then when that is all taken care of, we can put an application for that child. So we don't really discover the talent. Normally the talent already is in the child and it's a matter of, oh, shall we give an opportunity to that to blossom? And it's a commitment as well, you know, with the family to be able to provide that chance to that child to attend to those lessons, you know, provide transport and commitment to attend those lessons. And normally, you know, that's something that the kid really wants to do. So it tends to be a success, you know.
How does being a social worker mean you have to have a special talent to understand people beyond just reading their files? How do you connect with families on a personal level?
I guess anyone that wants to be a social worker, they have to be compassionate. But also I suggest that you study. You need to be, you need to train and to go to university or go to ARA and to train for 4 years before that you can practice. And you learn theory, you learn social skills, practice skills, and all that. You need it, I guess, in your day-to-day. You might not notice that, but you become to read between lines when people tell you, things are tight at the moment, but they don't say exactly what it is. So you might go into loops to try to see what is really going on. Mm-hmm. Is that something that they're not telling you or something that they're not prepared to tell you? Or you need to give time for the family to feel more comfortable telling you what's really going on. So, and that happens just with years of practice.
Yeah. How can some of our listeners become sponsors for Birthright? Maybe they've experienced challenges growing up and now want to help others in need.
That's really easy. They just need to get in contact with Birthright, and that's just a simple Google search. That will appear our phone number and our email, and they can make a time with us to get in contact, or over the phone we can give them the information to pop up the details in our bank account, and that's it. Everybody happy is happy.
That's all for the Best of 2025 special. If you loved these moments, make sure to check out the full episodes in our archives. A huge thank you to all our incredible guests and listeners for making this year so special. Stay tuned in for part 3 of our highlights coming soon. Until next time, keep seeking talents and I'll catch you in the next episode. Nā mihi nui.
That's the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this show and want to hear more, head over to plains.org.nz for past episodes. You can also subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to get the new episodes delivered right to you. Do you have a talent you'd like to share? I'd love to talk to you. Just email info@plains.org.nz to get in touch. Keep working on your talents. You are amazing. Until next time, bye!